This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's 326, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert, and this is Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us. About to bring on good friend Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World. He's saying something to make Derek laugh during the break. What were you guys chumming it up about? Let me bring Matt on and ask him, actually. Matt, what were you saying to my producer, chumming it up with Derek? It's supposed to be working, not having fun.
It was just fascinating stuff. He called, I answered, I said, good evening. He said, well, is it technically really even evening? Wow. And you know, great point by him, and that's kind of one that slipped past me there, because it is only 3:27 now.
Matt, I'm gonna break this down for you, man, because I like you and I don't want you to get the runaround here. I think Derek was giving you fake laughs. I think he was giving you courtesy laughs. I'm not gonna let him do that to you. I just want to be up front and let you know right now.
Well, let me finish this though, just in case. And I appreciate your, that's just solid friendship moves right there. But let me finish this just in case.
Okay.
And then you can evaluate. So I said, no, you know, it's probably not evening. 3:30 does not really very often qualify as evening. However, this morning I was fortunate enough to give a talk or speak with or to or whatever the Breakfast Optimist Club here in Lawrence, 40 or 50 people of that club that get together and have breakfast once a week, I think, and have guest speakers and have a lot of fun and just clown around and that kind of thing. So I was, like I said, fortunate enough to be asked to do that today. And that forced me to get up about 4 or 5 hours earlier than I normally do.
Wow.
So I am shifting everything ahead. So even though it's only 3:30 now, it feels to me like a good 7:30, 8:30, somewhere in there. So, you know, I was kind of trying to use that with Derek, and I think he kind of said, well, that's fair, and I said, I appreciate it, and then he laughed at me.
Yeah, fake laugh. He's a faker.
Okay.
Derek, you can defend yourself if you want to, but you were clearly fake laughing at Matt, which is not a nice thing to do.
I don't appreciate the defamation.
I don't think it is. Because Matt, to be completely honest, fake laughing is no laughing matter, if we're being completely fair here. And
I
don't take it lightly.
Right now.
When I'm laughing at you, it's all genuine, 100% of the time.
Fair. All right. Well, I'm glad we set some ground rules here. I mean, here's what happened, too, whether it's in person or on the phone or whatever. From now until the end of time, until the next eclipse at the very least, I am going to always question when I hear Derek laugh, whether it's on
your
show and I'm listening on my drive. Whether it's in person, whether it's when I call, I think that's a lot you just put on him right there. Because I have a very keen ear and a very keen eye, and I'm going to be watching that guy.
Don't worry. I think Nick's just mad because he says I don't laugh at enough of his jokes.
Oh, that's probably what's happening here.
Well, no, he's a bad fake laugher. And that's the thing. I am a grade A fake laugher. So even if I did fake laugh at you, Matt, you'd have no idea. Like,
that's
when I fake laugh,
right.
It sounds genuine. My fake laugh is better than most people's real laugh. So Derek's a bad fake laugher, and even then, he hardly ever laughs at anything I say when I know he thinks it's funny. Okay, that one
great.
Was a little bit,
that
was a little
was
much
great.
There.
I loved it. My only question, do you think he's listening? Because maybe that's why he's not laughing.
He's not. Let me pull this curtain back and show you how the sausage is made a little bit. Derek very rarely is paying attention to anything I'm doing or saying on the show. He's gramming, he's tweeting, he's snapchatting, Facebooking.
Buy things on Amazon.
Yeah, he's doing everything other than what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, maybe that's why you guys work.
That's right. He's a good yin to my yang. We got Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World on with us. So it's sounding like KU's not going to get this Mitchell Robinson guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. You know, there's a lot of talk coming from his side of things that says he's very seriously considering just not playing anywhere this year. And, you know, to each his own, I don't know that that's the best decision. But it's not my player. It's not my relative. It's not my concern, really. I mean, and I doubt he cares what I think. So I don't like it. I don't like the trend. I don't like that it could potentially set up this line of thinking for other kids in the future. And it just seems odd to me. I mean, it seems to me maybe we're too close to it. But whether you're talking about Bill Self or otherwise, it seems to me like going to a college environment for a year, whether that's Kansas or New Orleans or LSU or whatever, Western Kentucky, where he was originally signed, going there for a year, even if you're not going to play, let's say you're ineligible like he would be if he transferred, most likely, you're getting so many advantages out of that year. You're getting coaching, you're getting structure, you're traveling, you're getting film work, you're getting nutrition, you're getting weight room stuff. So I think that by passing on that, you're making a big-time mistake. Now, if he does pass on it, there's no doubt that he's going to hire a personal trainer. He's probably going to hire an agent. He's going to work out constantly. He's going to play. He's going to improve. He's going to try to play pickup wherever he can, those types of things. So it's not as if he'll just be sitting around, watching reruns of Friends for an entire year and then try to go to the NBA. So I don't want to be completely unfair to him if that's what he ends up doing, but I still think whether you could hire the best personal trainer in the world, it doesn't, to me, bring you the same benefits that going to a place like Kansas and learning from Self and playing against a guy like Udoka Azubuike and getting the benefits of Andrea Hootie. I don't think he can do anything on his own that can even approach the level of quality products and things that he would be able to get out of doing that at Kansas or any other school for that matter. So it seems weird, but without having talked to the kid himself or anyone in his family or anything like that, who knows what the line of thinking is.
We got Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World on with us here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. If you're not going to play college ball, why would you just go overseas? You get all those things you just mentioned and you get paid.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that, and I'm glad you mentioned it because I think that's exactly right. You would make some money and you would still have some structure and you would see another part of the world. I mean, I guess you risk injury, and maybe that's the answer. But you risk injury if you're running around in an empty gym by yourself with your trainer too. I mean, that kind of stuff can happen anywhere. So, I don't understand it. And again, nothing's been finalized. Nothing's been decided, but it sounds like KU is not planning on signing him. It sounds like LSU backed off recruiting him after he visited there first. And that's weird to me too, because everything that I've heard about this guy, including from some people at Western Kentucky, is that he's a good kid and people like him. And it doesn't sound like, I haven't believed until this point, that it's any kind of a personality flaw or anything like that. I think people like him a lot. Maybe he's just getting some bad advice. Maybe he's just going down the wrong path for some reason or another. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's fully resolved yet. Like I said, that report that we saw was just saying that he was basically considering or seriously considering sitting out the season and not playing anywhere at all. So people consider things all the time. Derek considers whether to laugh at you or not. And then he doesn't. So, it could be something that changes in a matter of minutes. It could change overnight. It could change three times overnight. So it's not a done deal by any means, but it's definitely been a wild thing to follow. And especially with the McDonald's All-American, a seven-footer, such a good talent. I mean, it doesn't happen very often with these types of guys. I mean, they're usually scooped up and a big part of everybody's plans.
Well, maybe, probably, this was in the back of my mind initially when I found out that KU was going after him and that he was coming on an official visit, but maybe it was more of a just pursuing it, even though you know it's a small likelihood that he's going to come to KU or that he's even going to be eligible to play, just because you had an available roster spot, you needed some help, so they thought, why not? Probably not going to work, but it's worth pursuing.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think that's probably exactly what happened on KU's side of it. I mean, because, they've made a lot about the Dedrick Lawson, KJ Lawson, Charlie Moore, Malik Newman last year. You know, they've made a lot out of that, and the benefits that having those guys, even though they're not eligible at the time, having those guys in practice to push your starting five, to push your regular rotation guys, that's a big deal. I mean, when you're able to put somebody like Devontae Graham up against Malik Newman last year in practice instead of that being Tyler Self in practice, that's a big deal, and that's preparing and developing Devontae Graham's game. And so there's no question that KU would benefit from it if he decided to come here. But if he comes for the year and sits out and never plays and then jumps to the NBA anyway, maybe it's not worth the headache of trying to get him eligible this year and all of that. Cause we've seen that, you know, we've seen that plenty in the recent past, whether it's Sheck Diallo or Cliff Alexander or different guys like that, you know, not exactly eligibility or the same apples to apples type of concerns, but still something where KU's had to, you know, do some paperwork and make some calls and go through a process to try to get a guy eligible. And, you know, maybe that is not always worth it. So it's interesting. It's definitely worth following to the end because everybody's been following it along so far. But at this point, it sure seems like he may end up not playing anywhere. And that would be weird. It would be weird to remember his name if that's the case and then to see, you know, next June when the draft rolls around again, where does he go? Does he go at all? And where does his career go from there?
And it's crazy to think about that we've seen guys in his position before who are trying to gain eligibility, and if they don't get it, maybe they'll sit out, maybe they'll go play overseas. But all of those guys had academic concerns or things that were brought about because of an investigation or because the NCAA wasn't sure what was going on. This is a case where a guy just made a poor decision out of high school, right? Because that's what you chalk it up to, is he probably should have never committed to Western Kentucky in the first place. He kind of brought it on himself. Not to pile it on the guy, but that's the reality of it.
No, there's no doubt. And, I mean, it just, you know, I get it. I get family. I get the pull of wanting to play for someone who you're close to. His godfather was a member of that Western Kentucky coaching staff and is no longer, and that caused the change of heart. And so I can understand that. But, man, if you fancy yourself a lottery pick, which you know, in one of the most recent mock drafts, he was slated in that 14 spot, the very last pick of the lottery. So if that's what you think you are, if you're a McDonald's All-American, if you're a future pro, I just don't get the idea of that. I mean, you can have a great relationship and connection and even a basketball connection with your godfather without going to play for a school like Western Kentucky that you may regret, you know, making that move. And that's not even to say that he would have had to sign with Kansas or Kentucky or Duke or whatever. You know, I mean, he could have absolutely picked LSU right away or something like that. But, you know, more exposure, more competition. I mean, you know, those things are things that maybe he overlooked a little bit in that initial decision. And part of it was, you know, the story goes even deeper than that, because the coach at Western Kentucky was an assistant at Texas A&M, where he originally committed. So there is clearly a connection beyond just his godfather. I mean, he obviously enjoys, I think Rick Stansberry is his name, and you know, he obviously likes that guy and has a connection with him because he was willing to go to A&M, where he had initially orally committed, and then once Stansberry got the job at Western Kentucky, followed him there and committed there too. So it may go beyond just the godfather connection, and sometimes that's cool too. I mean, sometimes you do just have a connection with a coach, and regardless of school or colors or mascot or conference or any of that stuff, you just want to play for that guy, and maybe that's what happened here. But it's too bad, because, you know, not that long ago, just a couple of months ago, this kid was, you know, really, really loved at Western Kentucky and had the people there excited and was kind of one of those rare guys who has the five-star pedigree, has the All-American talent, as the NBA body and future, and instead of picking one of the blue bloods, he picked a school like Western Kentucky. That that was a cool story right there, and everybody was loving that. And then now here he is, really kind of just spiraling downward, and nobody knows where it's going to land or how this is going to end up. So you can't help but feel for the kid a little bit.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. So if these reports from John Rothstein of FanRag are to be believed, and Mitchell Robinson isn't going to come to KU, let alone any college program, it seems like we know exactly what this team is going to look like, and they are going to have one available scholarship that's going to go unused this year. Only three guys in the front court. You take everything together. You saw this team up close and personal for four games in Italy. What is kind of your overall feeling about this team's makeup heading into this season?
Yeah, I don't think that was a make or break thing. I think they would probably move into the season without filling the scholarship, and that's okay. I think they're comfortable doing that. I think Bill Self really liked what he saw in Italy. I think the way that those four veteran guards, and at this point, even though he hasn't played at Kansas, you count Malik Newman as a veteran because he's a mature dude. He's been around. He's been in college for a few years. This will be his third. You know, he fits in. He fits into that group. So you've got Newman and Graham and C and Vic, and those guys play great together. They play fast. They can all shoot. They can all, you know, help each other out. I think Bill Self really liked what he saw in that group, maybe even more than he expected. And when you consider that those guys are in place and that using them for a good chunk of the minutes per game together is very, very similar to what he did last year with Josh Jackson as that fourth guard out there. You know, he liked that too, and that worked very well. I mean, they had a great year, and none of these guys is Josh Jackson, but that doesn't mean personnel-wise they can't make it work the same way. So I think the fact that that was fresh in his mind and that small lineup last year worked so well, I think that gives him a great deal of confidence knowing, okay, we can do the same sort of thing here, you know, and kind of make that work again. So I think there's a lot to like. I think Azubuike, provided he can stay healthy and stay in shape and stay out of foul trouble, you know, he's not going to have to play 35 minutes a game, but they need him to get close to 30. And if he can do that, nobody has a guy like that, you know, that they'll face. So he brings a different element even than they had last year. So there's plenty to like about this team. Speed, experience, there's no reason to think that they won't be every bit as good as anybody could have hoped and expected and you know, basically what we've sort of become accustomed to for the last decade and a half.
You know, you kind of just touched on this, but I thought that last year the defining quality, the defining characteristic of that team, the theme was kind of toughness. And we know that Bill Self obviously preaches that every single year, perhaps more than anything else. But with Frank Mason and Josh Jackson and even a guy like Landon Lucas, I just thought this team really embodied that spirit a year ago. What do you think the defining characteristic of this year's team is going to be?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I agree. I mean, Josh Jackson was as tough as they come. Frank Mason, even tougher than that. I mean, yeah, those guys, they were. And they weren't just tough physically. They were tough mentally, and they were tough when they were down, and they were tough in some tough spots, you know. So that is a great call, and I don't know if they'll be able to match that. Probably not. I mean, they could be a really tough team, but I don't know that they'll be that tough. But I do think one of the characteristics that will define this team is speed. I really do. I mean, Self talked a lot about that when we were over in Italy, and he talked kind of, you know, almost in a like, oh my gosh, kind of way. I mean, these guys are fast, and when you talk about those four guards that we mentioned already, and you talk about a guy like Billy Preston too, who, you know, he'll figure it out in time, and he's already physically where they want him to be, and physically as impressive as any freshman probably can be. So you know, you put a guy like that out there on the floor too, at the three or the four, and that's another guy, a big body, who can get up and down and those long strides, likes to run the floor. I mean, that's another element of speed from a position that you don't expect it, you know. So I think this team will be will be very, very much built upon that, and will have that as sort of their identity. And you know, that's funny to say when you talk about Azubuike, because there's nothing about that guy that talks or that speaks speed. You know, he's a huge presence in the paint on both ends of the floor, but that being there really allows the rest of that group to get out and run, and you know, that especially on the defensive end, if he can control the lane and kind of take care of the glass, and as soon as the shot goes up, two or three of those guys can take off knowing that he's going to get it, and then fire an outlet pass, and then they're really putting the defense on their heels. That's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be tough to beat. So I think they're going to preach and try to emphasize speed as much as probably ever. And all those guys that we've mentioned are certainly capable of filling that role and being dangerous in it.
Yeah, that's kind of my question. It's kind of like first world problems, like when you have question marks about this Kansas team because of how talented they are. But I do kind of wonder, is Azubuike's size and strength in the way that he kind of opposes everything that the front court's going to have to offer with everything you just mentioned, mainly that speed, is it going to counteract each other? Are they going to kind of work together like that? Or is it going to be a case where his lack of speed and ability to run and the lack of depth in the front court kind of cancels out what you have from the speed in the front court? Either way, like, worst case scenario, this team's still going to be a top 10 team in the country, but if they're able to find that perfect balance, then it could be a really dangerous mix that we haven't really seen at Kansas, at least over the past couple of years.
Right. No, totally agree. And you know, I was looking back at some of those games he did play. I mean, he played in 11 games last year. He started, I think, six. The second half of that, you know, his second five or six games and then those last three or four starts that he made, I think you really started to see him look comfortable, and I think you started to see some glimpses of what that could look like. And you know, it obviously was a big blow when he went down to that team, and they still had a great year without him. But, you know, I think every Kansas fan out there has mentioned to me at one point or another that they still wonder what a difference he would have made. And it's fair to do that. I mean, he would have been an enormous help on just about everything they did, and they may have played differently too. So, you know, there's no telling exactly what it would have done to the way the season would have played out. But, you know, you did start to see him get comfortable, and you did start to see the way they play. And a lot of it was still built on those guards getting out and going. And a lot of it was them having a lot of trust in him, especially on the offensive end. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, if you beat your man and you get your shoulders past him and you get turned toward the basket, well, there you're going to draw help, and then basically all you have to do is throw it up, and he'll go find it. And as we saw in Italy, he'll try to bring the rim down, you know. And so that's a huge factor, and that's easy points right there. So I want to look back at that a little more. I want to see a little bit more if there are any hints of just how well that can work together. And again, it's hard to do that because when you're looking at that first 11 games that he played last year, you're looking at it with guys like Jackson and Frank Mason on the floor, and those guys won't be out there this year, but there's still plenty of talent around him. And you know, it'll be interesting to see just how quickly he fits into that. Self was talking the other day about his conditioning, and, you know, he said he still needs to get a little lighter, lose a few pounds, and make sure that he can stay out there as much as possible. And I think it's as much to keep him out of foul trouble so that he can move his feet and be good and sound defensively so that he's not fouling because he's tired. But it's also, I think, about exactly that. You know, I mean, he's not going to sprint up and down the floor like a blur or anything like that. But I do think that he's got a chance to fill a role as a trail type of guy that could be pretty menacing, you know, they need him to be able to do that. And I know he's capable, and I know he's willing. You know, that guy right now, he wants to dominate, and he'll do anything that they ask him to do. So it will be fun to watch. It will be fun to watch him develop, but it'll be fun, as you mentioned, to watch, I guess, both parts kind of come together and how well do they mesh.
It's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. Check out his work in the LJ World or at KUSports.com. Appreciate the time as always, Matt.
Many thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Always fun.
All right, thank you. That is Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. I'm Nick Schwert. This is Rock Jock Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Up next, this week in useless NFL coaching audio.